PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome everyone to a fresh episode of Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards. This is actually episode 28 as we move right along here. And I have a special co-host today with me from True Temper or Project X or Acker, depending on how you want to look at it. The main man himself, Keenan Phillips. Welcome, KP from TT to Off Course. How are you, my friend?
Good. I'm doing well. I know we were talking about it before, and it took everything for me not to just give you like a hype on the intro, just a da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's like if we record after 9 p.m., I allow that stuff. But I think being that it's during the day here, we're going to try and keep it a little bit relaxed. You are a Twitter guy. I would say fairly new to it, not like a lifer on there. You can find Keenan at KP_TT_. A very interesting name you got there. And then we've got a number of your socials, obviously True Temper and Project X and Acura. What's in the bag right now, Keenan? What about the products? Because I've seen some stuff on your social. You were messing around with LS, got a little bit stressed out by those. What's in the bag right now?
Yeah, you know, I've been, it's funny, I guess until about the past week, I guess the past month and a half, I've been not playing the best. So I've been fiddling a lot, but luckily the last time I was out, I was fortunate enough. I was playing Carston Creek in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I actually played pretty well, all things considered. And going into it, I just put RDX Blue in the driver. I'd tested that out about the week before. I'd built it up and was testing, and I was like, why not? Let's go try it out, and hit it really well actually. So that's staying there for a little bit. Then RDX Black, I've had in the three woods since it came out on tour in Memphis. So I was at that event, obviously, with it being in our backyard. I have that in the three wood, and then still just X1s and S4s. So X1s in the irons and S4s in the wedges. I did just get a new set of heads last week, and I ordered some LSs. So I might try to stick with those for give them a solid month and a half and see.
Okay.
Definitely need a – it's just so hard to get away from what I've played for so long.
Well, they are the gold standard, right?
That's it.
You know, I had a great experience recently with a product I had not actually touched yet, which was with the new Callaway product coming out. You guys are actually main in the new X-Forge CB irons with your IO shafts. Mm-hmm. Those things are kind of spectacular. And for those listening, I'm not just kind of throwing this out there because Keenan's on. I think I hit about 10 times and immediately sent him a text with which is a picture of it, and he was pumped that I was even talking about him. I've been so locked in.
Oh, I know. So, we've been digging for some DG Super Lights for you. I know. Yeah, that's your baby.
So you know what? It's actually interesting. This is we're coming up on our personal friendship anniversary of 1 year. Did you know? I think it was like October 25th of 2019. We were actually hanging out at Hammock Beach playing golf together. So this is kind of a downgrade to be hanging out on the internet together, but you know, fond memories as they were.
Fond memories indeed. I just got out of a nice 2.5 hour meeting with Scott Coking in there, one of your favorites.
My guy, and, yeah, definitely.
Definitely that time at Hammock Beach was a blast. It has been the past couple of years.
So the reality was I spent the entire weekend trying to convince you guys to bring back out DGSL. I think I might be one of like four people in the world that have been pressing for that. They were one of my favorite shafts in the early 2000s. So to put a little perspective on that one, but yeah, I think IO is a lot of fun. Now, presentation wise, it actually looks similar to LS. Can you, for those who are following along, there's a lot of little elements here, IO, LS, what are we talking here?
Yeah, so two new products for us for our Project X line, kind of what we're really calling our next evolution line from Project X. So obviously the LS, that's going to stand for low spin. So it's going to be a part that comes in 6.0, 6.5, 7.0, kind of traditional Project X weights with that. So 120, 125, 130. And the idea behind that really came from some of these younger tour players you're seeing. I do a lot of college stuff for us as well, college and junior golf. And I mean, some of these younger kids, I mean, they swing it just so hard. I mean, they swing it so fast. Speed's definitely becoming a bigger part of this game. And with that, create just, you know, launch and spin pretty naturally. So we wanted to have something for that next golfer with that LS shaft to really complement and suit their game the best, to try to lower those RPMs that they're just naturally creating. So Scott Coking, who we just mentioned, from a design standpoint, we just kind of gave him free reign, didn't have a time frame on it on when to complete it. And so it's a stepless shaft, just like every other Project X shaft. And every stepless shaft of the past that's ever been made has been just one taper rate. So from butt section to tip section, just one straight line all the way down, basically. And LS is the first one that has dual taper rates in it, which is sounding super nerdy already. But
I love it. Yeah,
I know, it's a pretty cool thing from a design standpoint. And where you kind of changed up the stiffness and the soft, like the basically the stiff this EI profile of the shaft, where he decided to alter that. He really kind of picked out this section in the midsection where it starts to change a little bit. And from that, we were just getting less kind of shaft deflection and in turn creating lower launch and lower spin. So really unique design that we're really excited about. And then IO, which you mentioned, that one's going to stand for individually optimized. So yes, our marketing team, which I'm a part of, was all about the acronyms for this series.
Okay.
And IO is going to come in three flexes there. So it's going to have a 5.5, a 6.0, and a 6.5. And basically the concept behind IO was every player that's playing, even if it's the same shaft, but regardless if they're playing a different flex, is usually looking for something a little different. So that 5.5 is going to come in at a lightest weight at 105 grams and be a little more tip soft, a little more profile soft for a more mid to high launch. At 6.0 is going to be kind of a midweight one at 110 there. Profile is going to change to be more of a mid launch. And that 6.5 is going to be 115 grams and profile is going to change to be more mid to low launch on that one. And one of the things I first actually noticed when I hit the 6.0, because Scott's had them in the bag for a while, is just how good they feel. And I think that's what you were surprised too. And I got a text immediately from you, like, these feel amazing. And
then they really, So Project X is such an interesting design. I mean, they've always been one of those shafts where you instantly know when you go a little bit too stiff to flex that works for you. I remember trying to hit the straight line PX in like the 6.5s back in the day and thinking, you know, I could probably do these, but I'll hate myself the way I swing at them, because you just, all you want to do is try and load them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the IO, I haven't had a chance to hit LS yet, but IO in itself, it feels like it's one of those shafts that you can go at it as much as you want, but you don't feel obligated to do it every single time. Kind of reminds me a little bit of LZ, in that I have some freedom to do what I want to, but unlike LZ, these are actually like right in my wheelhouse. So super exciting to hit that. And I'm really excited for you guys to see that next gen profile. And certainly you're doing the same thing with RDX. I am really curious about your perspective on one thing as it relates to the discussions out there right now, because there are guys who are now going back in time almost. I think it was about 10 years ago, every company was building a 46.5-inch driver setup. And then we kind of came back to earth a little bit. And now we got two guys on tour, one being Phil and one being Bryson, who are like, let's take this to the absolute max. Phil's at 47.5. Bryson's messing around at 48. From a control perspective, obviously that's their problem, not yours. But from a profile perspective, I mean, you're kind of not just maxing out the allowable length, but you're also maxing out the shaft and its design profile. How does a company like Project X look at something like that and kind of weather the storm, knowing that people are going to start trying that?
Yeah, so it's something we're, you know, definitely looking into. Obviously, our wood shafts come 46 inches raw. So put a head on it, it's about 47.75 or so. But obviously, with that 46 inches raw, they're not meant to play at 46 inches raw.
Exactly.
And the profile, it's kind of taken into account there. So definitely either one of two things, making a longer raw shaft, but of course, then still kind of tipping and butt trimming is allowed there. Or just making kind of adding, I guess, some stiffness to it, to that 46 inches as an option as well in certain areas. So we're definitely looking at it and playing around with it, obviously seeing if this trend's going to stick, how long it sticks. But I think Bryson's definitely opened some people's eyes with what he's doing. It's incredible from a, maybe not a golf purist standpoint, but from a spectator standpoint, just watching golf each week, it seems like he has something new up his sleeve. from an equipment side, and definitely shafts are getting talked about more because of them. So that's something we're looking at and looking to adapt and hopefully be on the front end of if there is a change of that change and help maybe create a new realm for people.
Yeah, I like that they're going at it in a different way. Bryson's saying, I'm going to put this in play as soon as I can start to feel like I can control it, which is, you know, Bryson being Bryson. Whereas Phil, you ask him, won't that be hard to hit the fairway? And he's like, who the hell cares? It's a driver.
Much anyways.
Yeah. It's just such a funny difference. I mean, Phil's being Phil. He's proven at this point, now that he's past 50, that he doesn't care what people think about him. He's wearing his shades on the course, drinking his coffee, and you know, just enjoying what he has left out there. Are you a Phil guy? Are you a fan?
I am a fan. I think it's tough not to be. I mean, not even just nowadays. I mean, we're in the shades, blocking the haters, hitting bombs. I mean, I think he reminds a lot of players watching his game specifically a little bit of them. I mean, like we mentioned, doesn't hit a ton of fairways, doesn't always put himself in the best spots, but usually he pulls off the shots that we think we can. And
yeah.
I think it's fun to see someone play golf that way.
And he's doing it in a way that he doesn't feel like he has to answer to. And I like that. What I've really enjoyed this year, Keenan, was when he transitioned over to the senior tour, and obviously has won a number of times now. Yeah. The wave has begun. Do you think he's coming back for any real time? Do you think this success he's seeing is like, well, you know, I've got some money now. I can just go and enjoy myself and put on a show that I've always wanted to.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I'm kind of thinking about it, and maybe it's just, I think he can pick and choose the tournaments. I mean, he's always been able, him and Tiger both, and the top players pick and choose the tournaments they want to play in on the PGA. And, you know, if he wants to tighten his game up in between, go out on the Champions Tour and maybe compete and get that feeling back of, you know, being in a final group or being in the hunt on a Sunday that he might not be experiencing as often as he used to. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fun to think about him using that momentum going to a place like Augusta here soon. How excited are you to have the next two majors be the Masters, and beyond that, how weird do you think it's going to be to see Augusta in the fall?
I am so excited for both of those parts. So back-to-back Masters is like, it's a dream come true. So I love the Masters. Obviously same course every year. So you have memories from the previous years of certain holes, certain shots, and getting to see it in the fall now, I think it's going to be something quite spectacular. Getting to see Augusta, hopefully kind of autumned out. Hopefully you get some colors that you usually don't see. And I think it'll be really unique. And I don't know if the course will play different. I'm sure the superintendents and greenskeepers have kept it pretty similar, but I'd have to imagine it plays a little different too, which will just be fun to experience.
Do you think all this crazy hype around Bryson talking about where he's going to hit it and what his plans are to dominate Augusta, do you think that's going to come to fruition, or do you think he's going to be stymied out there?
You know, I don't put anything past that man anymore, but I mean, I've seen players, you know, hit it a little sideways there and still win. So I think as long as he avoids the really big numbers, which is, I mean, obvious to say about anyone playing, but specifically on that back nine, just staying away from some of the hazards. Yeah, I mean, bomb it away and go low.
Does it offend you when people use the term pumpkin spice to refer to the Masters?
Not me, but it might my girlfriend. She feels like she owns the term pumpkin spice as the sorority girl that she was. So maybe her, but no, I've seen it before. I think you might have posted something about it.
If I posted about it, it was pure rage. Our good friend Rob Miller has an image he likes to throw at me that has the Masters logo and pumpkin spice profiled out. And I'll tell you what, that's upsetting.
It was definitely Rob then. And you know, I'm all for it. Go have fun. Have fun with the Masters. Pumpkin spice, it's the reason for the season.
So what do you think about the idea of a Rona slam? So basically four straight majors based on the Rona schedule. You think that that's got a chance here?
You know, it's got a chance. You know, I think the Open, we'll see what the Open, we'll see what happens there. It was, I mean, it's been a crazy year, obviously. Don't know what's to come in the future. You can stay positive. I'm hoping to stay positive. But what I do know is back-to-back Masters and just one step at a time.
So when it comes to the changes that we're feeling, you're obviously doing quite a bit with True Temper and your group there. And I read something funny that you were talking about how your, I think it was your grandparents said you, you guys talk about your commercials that you do.
Yeah. No, it's, so for anyone who doesn't know, I guess we've kind of, since really the pandemic started, been doing more video stuff, whether it be YouTube, any other platform, but specifically YouTube's been kind of a bigger focus for us going forward and increasing that platform. And you can find us at True Temper Golf, by the way. Like, subscribe, and comment.
There you go.
I, for whatever reason, volunteered when it first started to be in some of the videos. And that's just kind of continued to grow. And my family being who they are, very supportive, of course, but also likes to pick at me every now and then. My mom sent one of the first ones out to the whole family or whatever, embarrassingly. And of course, aunts and uncles are kind of giving me cheek about it. But my grandparents are showing all their friends like, oh, look at my grandson. I'm an only grandson. So there you go. It's like, oh, look at him in his commercials. And so I'm like, no, they're not commercials, Momo and Popo. They're it's YouTube videos. Anyone can make them.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
They think because they can see them on my parents' TV that they're commercials. So,
but it seems like your family's pretty connected in golf. You have a nice little history there playing with mom and dad.
Definitely. So my mom probably picked it up, geez, probably 4 years ago now. So I remember going to buy her first set. I went with her and my dad, but my dad's played, since childhood, grew up playing tournaments, played in college at Baylor, took a few years off after college. And then I think his first round back was like St. Andrews in like 3 years and shot like 79, which I'm like, yeah, screw you.
Do you guys play straight up then, or is there strokes involved?
Now he's on the older side. So he's 68. So usually on most courses that aren't the home course is a little short for us and they live on a course. That one he'll usually get me on, but he's played it for 20 years and my length doesn't necessarily come into play as much there, but usually visiting courses, I give him a few strokes at now.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to put you on blast and hopefully mom and dad listen, because obviously off course is massive now. So I'm sure the reach is there, but you've got, I saw, and I definitely did some research to see what I could pull off your Twitter. We've got pictures at Bandon with mom and we got pictures at Pebble with dad. What is your favorite golf memory and why?
Oh, those two pictures. Those are my golf flex pictures when I'm trying to show that I'm a golfer.
I felt it going through there.
Favorite golf memory. I'm going to go with, those are both good ones. So I was fortunate enough for my 21st birthday. My dad and I had always talked about it for a long time, going to play Pebble together. So it was a little 21st birthday graduation thing combined. So got to go up there, out there, father, son. So that was really special, but I'll probably have to take the family aspect of it. I'm watching the Vince Young highlight you just have on TV right now. So for those listening, we're watching the golf right now. And they just showed a little Vince Young, little 05-06 national championship corner run. Oh, anyway, went to Texas. It's getting me off topic. But
we can get there. The show's called Off Course. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. So we're going to definitely get off topic. That's more points, I'm sure. But I'm going to have to go with, for favorite golf memory, one that involved me, my mom, and my dad. So it's when we traveled up to Bandon as a family, obviously being kind of secluded there. Once again, only grandchild. So I'm an only child as well. So a pretty tight knit family and just kind of hanging around the punch bowl there, which is so much fun. If anyone's been to Bandon, they know what we're talking about, or if they haven't been in a while since they've had it, but a lot of fun, just kind of sun's going down, just playing putting games, drinking a few mixed drinks and just really having no plans or no end in sight to the night. So just kind of making up silly games with the family and spending family time, which is what the game for me has definitely been all about. So just the best way there is to connect with my family, my friends. So
I'll go ahead and tell you that I'm not heartbroken you didn't select hanging out with me at the conservatory, one of probably my favorite courses in Florida. That was a ton of fun to play and experience. But I want to go totally off track from golf real quick and try and figure out, because I've never had it, and this is probably really going to upset you. What is it about Whataburger that you're so passionate about?
I already knew it was coming. I just felt it with the lead in right there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you know, and I hope Don doesn't hear this. My past four trips in the past 2 weeks have been scheduled around locations with Whataburger in them. And I've had it four times in the past week and a half. I know. I had it two nights ago in Dallas, had it in Fayetteville, had it in Stillwater, and had it in Jacksonville before that. So
is this like a youngster Keenan origin story, or what's going on here? Like what is about Whataburger that's so passion driven for you?
And one of my buddies from TaylorMade was just with me in Dallas. He asked me the same question because he's never had it. I gave him two answers. So the first one,
which one's true?
They're both true. I don't know which one's more true though.
Okay.
Part one, it's a Texas thing. Obviously originate in Corpus. I'm from Texas. Texas pride runs high, especially since moving away from the state. So that's just kind of supporting that thing that I thought was only mine. I didn't know they weren't just in Texas until I moved out of Texas, which I was a little disappointed by. And then number two is just, I mean, I went probably so many times in college late night that it just kind of became ingrained in me that this is, that's the way I to end a good night, to end a good day, Whataburger has to be a part of it.
Soaking up the bad decisions. I like it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's fine. So do you get in a lot of debates about, is it like an In-N-Out competitor? Who's the real competitor that you say, when people argue with you and you say you're nuts, you're crazy? Is it?
I mean, the In-N-Out's the one that drives me the most insane. I mean, it's offensive, quite honestly. Whataburger. I mean, I get if Whataburger had like two things on the menu and below average fries, the comparison, but Whataburger has like seven or eight different types of burgers. They got chicken. They have anything you could want, and it's all really good. And the fries are really good. And In-N-Out, don't get me wrong, the burger's fine. But the fries, they leave some to be desired. They leave something to be desired for sure.
I agree with that. I'm a Five Guys kind of person, and only because that's what there is here. And I tried In-N-Out. Okay. I tried In-N-Out, said, I don't know what the hype is about. I was told to get animal style fries that were double cooked, and that was a horrible idea. I hope he's listening.
I've never had the double cooked. I've definitely had the animal style.
Yeah.
That's a little too much of a mayonnaise taste for me personally.
Yeah. So let's go with something you can actually has a chance of competing with you. You moved from Texas, which is known for barbecue, to Memphis.
Josh
is known for barbecue. Is this the one thing you're not allowed to talk about if anyone from Texas is listening in?
Yes, but the answer, I've gotten more political with it because once again, Texas roots, Texas pride runs deep. Since moving away from Texas, my affection for Texas barbecue has grown more, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, because that's all I ever had growing up, which don't get me wrong, it's great to have. But it's just like, you want something a little different every now and then. So I think when I first moved to Tennessee, I was enamored by pork barbecue because Texas is beef. So I really fell in love with the pork barbecue here in Memphis. But every time I go back to Texas now, I definitely try to make a barbecue stop or two, and it tastes better than it ever has before. So,
oh man, those are safe answers. I was really hoping that you'd go deep and, talk about how it changed your life moving over there, but I don't think I'm going to get that from you.
I can't just talk bad about Texas. I can't do that.
Okay. How about favorite golf course to play in Tennessee?
Ooh, in Tennessee. That's a boring answer. I don't want to say Southwind, but I really like Southwind. I like the back nine a lot, which is where they play the FedEx St. Jude here, TPC Southwind. I've played couple courses in Nashville that I've played. Governor's Club, which is outside, which is pretty good. Spring Creek is also pretty good outside of Memphis, where Scott Felix does his club fitting at. But I'm going to have to go TPC Southwind. I just like the back nine a lot there. Plus, it's cool to play a course the pros play.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as we watch the Zozo go on. There's a couple places I've had the opportunity to go play, and it, for some reason, when you get on a course that you've watched on TV or played in a video game, it's just a different experience. You have like this perspective that changes, not just, you know, grass and trees anymore. It's, you know, history that you don't have while you're there.
That's it. I mean, and I think it was last time I was out at Southwind, probably about a month ago, I was finishing up on 18, and I think a couple of years ago, DJ holed out from just outside of the fairway on 18 to finish the tournament. And so I don't remember if they put a plaque there or if I was playing with one of the guys that used to work there. And so he kind of told me the area, and I just dropped a ball and hit two or three from there just for fun. So being able to do something like that.
I'm assuming they both went in.
went in the water, maybe. Oh. Yes, we'll say they went in.
So
I hit the green with one of them.
That's good. So I can't stop looking at the rope hat you're wearing, and we have to get into apparel stuff a little bit, because last week I had an awesome discussion with my buddy Golf Unfiltered about the trends that make sense but don't make sense in the golf course. And when I asked you what you wanted to talk about, golf hoodie was definitely on there. So give me a little bit of perspective on why that is a topic that needs to be discussed with Keenan Phillips.
Because golf hoodies are dope. There's no other way around it. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like a sweatshirt hoodie. There's a right way to do it. And I think it's a cool little relaxing look, adds some little style to the game, and it grows the game, evolve. The game needs to evolve, has always needed to evolve. And that's the next step.
So when you have a quarter zip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you add like a bucket for your head on the back of it, that grows the game.
That grows the game. That's, I mean, what is 70, 80 years ago, people were playing in blazers.
True. Should we go back to that?
No, I mean, you can. I mean, Tiger and Rory walk around Augusta without a collar now.
Yeah, that's upsetting. I made quite clear last week my disdain for the bladed collar. It's not something I want to bring up again, even though if someone does ask me, I will throw barbs just as much as I did. What is the one element in golf? What is the one apparel that you say could definitely be done with tomorrow that just doesn't need to be there? What is the one thing?
Oh, that's a good question. I got to be honest, I don't like the non-collared shirts either. Not a big fan. But I'm not against them as the point, like, you can't wear them. Like, I don't have a problem with people wearing them. They're just not for me.
Okay.
What to get rid of something, though? I'm not going to go with that.
How about Bryson's hat?
Yeah.
I
can't say what I call those hats, but yeah.
I got a good idea.
Yeah. But those hats, you know, I guess he's really the only one that wears them still. I'm going to go. This one might stir some people up right here, though. And I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not a big fan of the sunglasses on the course.
Really?
I'm not.
So, like, any sunglasses?
I'm just not. I think it started with, like, the Poulter Oakleys. Just never. And maybe because I played baseball growing up. And it's just not my thing.
So the sunglass thing is a very interesting one for me, because there's so much data out there that tells you that wearing sunglasses, UV protection, you know, safety from the brightness, it's a very positive thing from a saving your eyes sort of thing. I've never heard someone be bothered by them, though. Now, the ones, like the ones that Justin Rose wears, those giant, like, are they frogs?
Look, he has bug eyes.
Yeah, I've never understood those, and mostly because anytime I have, there's a bunch of your vision that essentially gets blocked from it. But the athletic ones, I've never heard someone be bothered by those.
I wouldn't say I'm like, once again, not bothered to the point where it's like those have to go, because I'm pretty open to most everything. But it's just like, I think about it twice when I see someone in them.
So that's why conservatory is not your favorite memory, because I was probably wearing shades. Is that the problem?
That's it. Well, and I think it's because I don't think I look good with the sunglasses on. So I'm like, I can't wear those, and I get a little jealous.
So it's jealousy.
I mean, it could be, especially looking at you, and I'm like, damn. And I look at me and I'm like,
So what about Argyle and golf? You good with it or no? Right time, right place.
Yeah. Right time, right place. Like if I'm playing like somewhere in Scotland, I feel like it'd be fun to throw on something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like not enough people do it to where it would bother me. I mean, cargo shorts in golf. How about that? That's something. Oh. There we go. Yeah. That's it. That's my answer.
Final answer, cargo shorts. I can respect that very much. One thing I did say last week, and I'd love to get your take. Is there a certain amount of bagginess that shouldn't be allowed in pants anymore in golf?
This is something I'm also very passionate about that I'm glad you brought up. So my best friend, Zephyr Melton, he writes for golf.com. There's his plug. Me and him always talk about, so if you watch NCAA basketball this past spring, obviously got shut down, but you would see so many players, their shorts are so short now. And you see like Tiger go out in a practice round and he looks like he's wearing Dickies. Like they're like halfway, they're like capris. Like when did golf become, I feel like golf has a lot of old man shorts now that are super long. And you see all these like soccer players, track, basketball, they're going shorter now. And I would appreciate if golf companies made shorter shorts. Just, I mean, not like booty shorts or anything, but like, a good like 9-inch or 7-inch short would be nice from a golf company.
I was leaning on the whole pant thing, but you took it in a different direction, and I'm glad you did, because I would bet there's a lot of THPers and a lot of listeners out there who are grateful for the long shorts, depending on which course they're playing and whose company they're in.
That could be true. But I guess I think golf was definitely late to the baggy short thing. Don't get me wrong, I still have some baggy Jordan shorts myself. But like definitely early mid 2000s from the NBA thing, golf was late to it, then started going longer, and now it's come back around to shorter, and golf's still on the little longer side. But
so speaking of little longer, this is one thing I really wanted to talk to you about, because you're definitely known, especially when you play with THPers, you hit the ball a pretty good way, right? That's there's no one arguing that you're a short knocker. Now on tour, there's been this huge debate over distance over the last year and a half in the distance report, what Bryson's doing. Do you have a basic perspective on this whole thing and where you think it might go?
You know, I've thought about it a lot, and I see people always talking about roll the balls back, do this, do that. You know, I don't have a big problem with it, and I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, if technology keeps progressing, can it get out of hand from a golf ball standpoint? I guess, assuming you're talking about the golf ball specifically, or just talking about the speed.
Just of everything. Distance in general, I think, is applicable here, because it comes from numerous elements to get to that point, to get to the numbers that are, for lack of a better word, fearing by some pundits.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with the way Bryson's doing it. Like, if you want to go work out and get your swing speed to, I mean, 130 or whatever, ball speed at 200, then good on you. That's I guess a skill, that's a craft, that's a part of the game that you just decided to work on. That's the same as, I don't know, somebody, what's a good example of that? I don't know, somebody spending 10 hours on the putting green instead of, you know, spending 10 hours in the gym.
Yeah, it's been an interesting debate. People talking about distance as a skill versus just being a basic advantage out there. And I think guys like Bryson have proven that regardless of your swing metrics at the time, you can find more distance in your own sort of way, which, I mean, it's been a really interesting journey to chase. And what we've pretty much determined at this point, I think unanimously, is Bryson's nuts in such a great way And it's something that 99.9% of other golfers will never even try to approach. But what I love is that skill gap has always been present. I mean, you look at long hitters like Rory and DJ, they have a lot to prove in their short games before they can be considered real threats to the distance conversation, because that's always their downfall. Mm-hmm. Now, Bryson has also shown some inability by comparison in his short game, but he's also putting lights out. So it's kind of like 50-50 every green he gets on. So what I really like about it, and again, something I've talked about in the past, is you see guys winning tournaments now that are extremely long hitters, and the list is fairly long, but then you chase it with guys either nipping at their heels or beating them who are by no means long hitters. And it proves that it validates that while distance is a skill, it's also not the only skill required to win.
No. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I mean, that's something he has worked at, you know, that's what he has chosen to work at in the game of golf, is to add speed and add distance. I think it would be silly. And I think Tiger kind of started it in the early mid 2000s when he got into weightlifting, and that became a bigger aspect of golf. And Bryson obviously has taken that to an extreme, but I think that it's definitely an aspect of any athlete. And I don't know why it's different to apply it to golf as opposed to baseball. I mean, if you take like Luke Voit for the Yankees, who's just jacked, or Giancarlo Stanton, it's like, sorry, guys, you can't work out anymore. You're getting for the baseball field.
I hear if you tell Rory he's limited to 1 hour in the gym a day, he might lose his mind.
I saw a thing, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, me and my buddy, it was on Snapchat or something. Somebody was taking a story of DJ and Rory walking by. I think it was probably at the tournament in Austin at the time, because we were still living there. And Rory and DJ are literally talking about protein shakes to each other. I kid you not. Like different types of protein.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it validates that the game we love has changed dramatically in the last two decades. And I read something that Tiger Woods was saying when he really got on tour. I think it was Tiger said this. It was recent, that the guys were basically told, you know, working out, doing things like this is actually very detrimental to your game. It will not improve the experience. You'll ruin your swing by working out. You have such a different perspective nowadays. It starts in the gym and improves in the gym, and everything else, you know, you put your reps in, you figure it out. That perspective, and a lot of people get so worried about this distance claim and these concerns that the numbers are increasing. I think what we're seeing here is a lot of guys figuring out that same thing, that the more time you put into every aspect of your physicality and your game, the better chance you have of winning. And I think we're in a good place there. I think it makes golf, for lack of a better word, more sexy to get into for younger players.
No, I agree. And I think going back to the distance thing, it just kind of popped my head too, for whatever reason, watching that iron shot, which it shouldn't have, but knowing kind of your numbers, whether it's on TrackMan, Foresight, knowing how to optimize that distance as well, which I think I remember people used to love, you know, kind of that ballooning trajectory with the driver, that low and then raising up. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, you're crazy if you hit the ball like that, because that's so inefficient.
Right.
You need to hit up on it 3 or 4 degrees and launch it at this, spin it at that. And just all these aspects are playing into it as well, along with, of course, golfers kind of focusing more on just being athletes.
So I remember back probably 15 to 20 years ago, maybe it wasn't that long, maybe 10 years ago, the original Mizuno shaft optimizer came out. Mm-hmm. And that was like one of the leading examples of getting a better understanding of what fits in your game and what profiles for you, and being blown away by it. But today, that would be considered one of many elements that are required to better understand what benefits your game, not to mention head to head, it obviously changes. I'm curious to know, from your perspective at True Temper, do you see a sort of change in perspective over the last little while? Do they talk about how your experience as a shaft company has changed because golfers, by the hundreds of thousands, I'm assuming maybe millions, are just being more educated in general as to what they're looking for?
Definitely from a fitting side of things. I mean, it goes down, boils down all the way from, you know, whether you're performance fitting centers type places, you know, Cool Clubs, Club Champion, TXG, all those places, or even just the OEM side of things. You know, there was, and was for good. I mean, it worked out well for us, but there was a point in time when companies didn't even think about, you know, twice what was going in their iron. You know, it was just going to be dynamic.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, and the fact of the matter is 130 gram shaft for a lot of recreational golfers is not the best tool for them. And so you've kind of seen that lightweight side of things really expand there. Just from an iron shaft perspective and be embraced on a lot of levels. And then I think as well from the performance fitting side that I was talking about, just being able to kind of explain technologies, explain profiles more to them, and having that middleman to communicate it and to optimally fit a player into a certain product.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride over the last couple of years for myself personally to experience places, as you mentioned, like Club Champion, who are just oozing with knowledge about fitting the individual, not to mention these OEMs, especially their demo days, they're going above and beyond to make sure people who spend the money on their product are getting a fit that they'll be happy with and get to play for some time. Keenan, we're kind of at the top of my hour. What else do you want to talk about today, man? I know it's been probably the highlight of your day, considering I'm only competing with a conference call. So,
yeah, you know, when you have to compete with the tour guys, it's not too hard to beat them out. So you kind of hit it. You know, I was really excited about the hoodie thing. We got onto a shorts topic, which I got fired up about. And you hit Whataburger. You hit all my key. You hit three key points there.
So what's next for True Temper? Give us all the goods is what's going on there.
Oof. I mean, obviously some of the new RDX stuff from a graphite perspective, super excited about RDX Black. Was back on tour, I guess, in whenever the Memphis tournament got changed to. It's usually June, but for that Memphis tournament, then Titleist just announced their TSI Woods. They're a part of that. And then RDX Blue has been, I mean, it's one of those things to always say, and I always feel like I'm hyping up, like it's been a great early success, but for a first week for a graphite shaft to have like seven in play for week one out on tour is pretty big. And the demand just keeps on growing from our OEM partners out there as well. So that one will be really fun to keep an eye on.
Cool. Well, my friend, it's been fun. Once again, if you guys want to give Keenan a follow on Twitter, he's at @KP_TT_. Got to make sure to get both of those in. And you guys know you can follow us at Off Course THP and myself at CanadanGolf on Twitter. We'll be back next week with more thoughts. Keenan, once again, thank you so much for hanging out today. And next time you hit them well.
Yes, sir. Thank you, big dog.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.